Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse, all while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Mr. Welch, and thank you very much for that introduction. I say hello to all, and today the message will be about judgment. We will look into the matter of judgment. We'll seek to find out if there is a judgment or if there is not a judgment. If so, what is that judgment? What is the cause of the judgment? And from whence does the judgment originate? With that being said, I begin. To say let bygones be bygones implies your ancestors are not important. It even implies you yourself are not important. And this speaks to those who are black, those who have suffered persecution at the hand of the papacy and the Gentiles. To say let dead bones lie implies you are unworthy of justice. It also implies your ancestors who were reduced to the rank of slaves, merchandise, are unworthy of justice. To say forgive and forget implies a lack of self-respect in the ones wronged. Those three things are advantageous to only the ones who have done and the ones who have benefited from the wrongs. they who say such things justify the wicked. For those who say the Gentile conquest, capture, enslavement, breeding, and scattering of black people is a past event, and that it should stay just there in the past, they are those who do not ascribe importance, value, and dignity to those who suffered at the hands of the papacy and the Gentiles. I have a statement I would like to share with you, and that statement is found in 1 Peter 5:9. The statement says, first of all, the statement is a uniformity, it speaks to the uniformity of afflictions. The statement, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The Africans who suffered the unjust treatment coming from the Gentiles, who suffered enslavement and all the other wrongs that were done to them, no matter where they were in the, throughout the Roman Empire, whether in Africa, whether in Europe, whether in the United States, or anywhere else, those people, those black people suffered the same afflictions. And I said that a statement speaks to the uniformity of afflictions. The Gentiles, all, irregardless of where they were, where they are, they all were under the authority of the papacy. And the papacy set forth the rules of conduct. The papacy set forth the rules that the Gentiles were to carry out throughout the Roman Empire. And so all slaves suffered the same afflictions, irregardless of where they might have been. Well, you can't say that slaves were treated better over here in the United States than they were in Africa, or slaves were treated better in Europe than they were elsewhere. They all suffered the same afflictions. And of course, I have brought forth many of those afflictions during the course of this study and this presentation on the having to do with the poor man's complaint. Now, as I said, this lecture will focus on the issue of judgment. Let me bring back to mind a scripture that I brought forth some weeks ago, found in Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Okay. But before I do that, let's stop by Job chapter 19, verse 7. Job 19, verse 7. Okay, and I have it in a moment. There's a statement in Job 19, verse 7 that says, and this is the last statement in the verse, it says, there is no judgment. I stated at the beginning that I want us to see whether there is a judgment in the Bible or whether there is not a judgment in the Bible. Many of you have heard say or heard others, somebody speak about Judgment Day. Judgment Day is coming. Many preachers have spoken on the issue of judgment is coming, Judgment Day is coming. So there has been a looking forward of judgment and expecting of judgment, an expectation of judgment. Is there a judgment? And if so, what is it? Job 19:7 says, there is no judgment. Okay, but we cannot stop there. Let's look further into Job 19 at verse 29. The last statement in the verse. It says, ye may know there is a judgment. Wait a minute, is that a contradiction? One statement, we have two statements in the same chapter of Job. That chapter is verse is chapter 19, and we have two statements, one in verse 7, one in verse 29. The one in verse 7 says there is no judgment, and the one in verse 29 says there is a judgment. Keep those two statements in mind. Now, I go to Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. And it says, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. So the scripture in the first book of the Bible speaks of a judging. And it gives the reason. There is a people that has been a stranger or strangers in strange lands. They were taken from their own lands and scattered about, and they served them. The them there in Genesis 15:13, and shall serve them. The them there is the papacy and the Gentiles. And they, the papacy, those are the papacy, and the Gentiles shall afflict them, the ones taken into captivity, into slavery, cast into slavery. They shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they, the servants or slaves, shall serve. That nation is the nation of the Gentiles. So we can read, and also the Gentiles whom they, the Africans slash black people, shall serve, will I, the papacy, judge. is there a judgment in the Bible, or is there no judgment in the Bible? We have a statement. Let me start here. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. That's found in Isaiah 42, verse 1. Isaiah 42, verse 1. It's the last statement in Isaiah 42, verse 1. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Isaiah 41 and 20. Isaiah 41 and 20. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Let me read those two statements together. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles, that they, the Gentiles, may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this. The question then is, what has the hand of the Lord done, and what is it that I should bring forth to the Gentiles? The he there in Isaiah 42, verse 1, is a reference to me. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, the question is this: will he or will I bring forth my own judgment to the Gentiles, or will I show a judgment that is recorded in Scripture? And remember, if there is a judgment, it is connected to the Gentiles' invasion of Africa, the Gentiles' conquest of Africa, and subjugation of its people, the scattering of its people, and the enslavement of its people. Okay? So if there is a judgment, it is connected to the afflictions whereby the Gentiles and those of the papacy afflicted Africans / black people. Was that which they did just or unjust? Was it good or was it evil? Now, many of you can say, okay, I know it wasn't good. Some of you may even say it was good. Okay? That's not the point. The point here is to see what the Bible says about it, and to see if the Bible speaks to the issue of judgment for such behavior and such doing. That is the point. What is this judgment thing all about? The Lord, all caps, the papacy in Genesis 15, 13, and 14, has said, it will judge that nation that did those things I have mentioned before. It is said that the papacy will judge. Okay? Now, and I am to bring forth these things, judgment. I'm to bring forth judgment and show it to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Gentiles, a.k.a. white Europeans, those who enslaved black people. I'm to show judgment to them, and those of the papacy, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. Let's move on. Now, what does the Bible say about the one who is to show judgment? Job 34:25 speaks to the matter. Job 34:25. It speaks to the matter, saying, therefore he knoweth their works. Now we have a therefore there. I turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. And I'm not seeing what I want to get from there. So I will move on. I stop here at Psalms 34:19. And that statement says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Keep this in mind, that throughout Bible content, when the Bible speaks of afflictions, it is speaking about the Gentiles' conduct to their slaves, their conduct with respect to the slaves. Okay? It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Bible also says about the one who is to show judgment, he knows the secrets of the heart. And you can look that statement up. Keyword there, secrets. Look up secrets in the concordance to get that reference. So two things. I should know the secrets of the heart. And if I know the secrets of the heart, then I know there the papacy's works. These works speak of things in the Bible. Papal works in the Bible, such as the papacy law, the curse against African people, the papacy's law of Passover, the papacy's law of God, the papacy's the complaint of the poor man, the papacy's promises to God, the papacy's expectations of God. All of those are works in the Bible. Okay? Now, the Bible says he knows the secrets of the heart, and that heart there speaks of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. He knows the secrets of the heart. And that is what I have done. I have discovered the heart of the Authorized Version. And in discovering its heart, I have discovered the treasure trove of information lying within the heart of the AVB, Authorized Version Bible. That qualifies me to do what the scripture in Isaiah 42:1 said. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. If there is judgment, he will show it. Okay? Now, Ecclesiastes 3:1. And after this, Mr. Welch, we can hear the announcement. Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Season, time, purpose, something one intends to do. All right? To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Is there a time of judgment? That's the question. Is this the time of judgment? And is this a time for judgment? Okay? Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 1:9. That which is done is that which shall be done. So we must find out what is done in order to know what is it that shall be done. Okay? That which is done is that which shall be done. Daniel 11:36. This is background information concerning judgment. All of this is background information. Daniel 11:36. That is determined shall be done. Two statements, Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which is done is that which shall be done, and Daniel 11:36, that is determined shall be done. That which is determined is that which is done, okay? That which is done is that which has already been determined, and that which has been determined is the thing that shall be done. Background information to the judgment. Mr. Welch, are you ready with the announcement?
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/lawofgods. Again, youtube.com/lawofgods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. Thanks for the announcements. And govern yourselves accordingly. Don't forget the call-in number. Mr. Welch, do you have that call-in number handy? Guest call-in number. Okay, apparently he's away. All right. What have we found out so far? Well, we've found out that there are two opposing statements with regard to judgment. One says there is no judgment. The other says there is a judgment. The papacy has stated from or in Genesis 15, 13, and 14 that the nation that conquered Africa and subdued its inhabitants, reducing them to merchandise, that the papacy, those of the papacy, will judge that nation being the nation of the Gentiles. Okay? Also, we found out that I have said that the he in Isaiah 42, verse 1, speaks of me. It says, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He knows the secrets of the heart. He knows the works of the papacy. I know the secrets of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. I know the works of the papacy that are hidden in Bible content. Therefore, the papacy sees me as one who is not only authorized by the papacy, but qualified to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, but the message is not just to the Gentiles. Listen to what Psalm 49, verse 1 and 2 says. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. That's a commandment. Now, back to the issue of judgment. Let me say this, that about the statements, two statements. The first says, Ecclesiastes 1:9, that which is done is that which shall be done. Do you not know that that statement is a judgment? That statement is indeed a judgment. And do you not know that Daniel 11, verse 36, that is determined shall be done? That, too, is a judgment. So we've already heard two judgments already. So the question is answered. The question, is there a judgment? Yes, there is a judgment. I've just read two of them. So there is judgment in the Bible, but the judgment does not stop there. So we continue. There's a commandment found in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. This background information is very important. Very important. We must hear it. I must share it. We must hear it. You must hear it. 1:17, Isaiah. No, it is. I don't have Isaiah yet. Okay. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17. It's the second statement. It's two words. They say, seek judgment. That is a commandment. I have been commanded to seek judgment. Okay? Seek judgment. And I have obeyed the commandment. I have sought judgment. Moving backward, let's go to Psalm. And I think it's 109, Psalm 109. Let's see here. That's not what I wanted. And I didn't reference this. Matter of fact, it's not in my outline, but I just thought about it. The statement says simply, seek out his wickedness. Seek out his wickedness. Two things. Seek judgment. Seek out his wickedness. Okay? I have done that. I have sought out the paper thieves' wickedness, and I have sought out judgment. Okay? Now, Matthew 23:23, and you can use your concordance and to find the reference, get the reference to the statement that says, seek out his wickedness. Key word there, seek, and you can also look up the word in your concordance, wickedness, to find the statement. Okay? But the commandment is sure. Seek judgment. Seek out his wickedness. Matthew 23, verse 23. This is on the matter of judgment. Judgment is a weighty matter of the law. Matthew 23:23 says, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, and I'll stop there. You can read on later. Weightier matters of the one law. Law in Bible is a weighty matter. Two, judgment. Judgment in the Bible is a weighty matter. Okay? That's the Bible. Weightier matters of the law, judgment. So judgment is a weighty matter. Deuteronomy 32:36. I'm turning my pages. Deuteronomy 32:36 says this. The Lord shall judge his people. Isn't that what we read in Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14, where the Lord said, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Right? The Lord, all caps, made that statement in Genesis 15 there. And the Lord, all caps, also set down this statement. Deuteronomy 32, verse 36, the Lord shall judge his people. So that is in agreement. Deuteronomy 32:36, that first statement there, is in agreement with the statement found in Genesis 15, verses 13 and 14. So about judgment, judgment is a weighty matter, and the Lord is the one who will judge his people. Now, who are the people of the Lord? The people of the Lord are the Gentiles. Okay? Now, who is this Lord? The word Lord there speaks to the papacy. The papacy is the head of all Gentiles. The papacy in the Bible and throughout, and in real life, the papacy has been the God of the Gentiles, the highest ranking Gentile on the earth, the one who sits, well, the one who goes by the title is Holiness, Holy Father, Holy See. All right? The God of the Gentiles. Okay. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 3. First Corinthians 5, verse 3 says, "For I verily," let me read this first, the complete statement, then I'll make a statement on it. "For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed." Now that's a wordy statement. The important statement coming from that verse is this. The papacy says, "For I verily have judged already." Genesis 15:13-14, "That nation whom the African/black people shall serve, I will judge. The Lord shall judge his people." Now, the Lord says, "For I verily have judged already." I have already concluded there is a judgment in the Bible. The papacy says here in 1 Corinthians 5, 3, "I have judged already." Now, if the Lord has already judged, then what is that judgment? That's what we are seeking. All right? That is determined shall be done. And that which is done is that which shall be done. The papacy says it has already judged, so that which is done is that which shall be done. And we dig a little deeper. Romans 2:2. Romans 2:2 says, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth." That's another fact about the issue of judgment. The judgment is according to truth. Now the Bible asks the question then, what is truth? The papacy has already said that truth is God's word. God's word is truth. It also says, "Thy law is the truth" in Psalm 119. Okay? Let me read the statements here. I have two statements. Psalm 43, verse 3, regarding truth. The judgment of God is according to truth. Psalm 43, 3. "O send out thy light and thy truth." The papacy bids me to send out my truth. And Psalm 57, verse 3. Last statement in verse 3. "God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." And put that with Isaiah 42, verse 1, "He shall show judgment to the Gentiles." Judgment is according to the truth that comes from God. let me read this, James 3:14. Statement in James 3:14 says, lie not against the truth. When you hear truth, do not lie against the truth. If you lie against, if you are lying against the truth, you're lying against God's word. And that constitutes blasphemy. Okay? So, the commandment says, lie not against the truth. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, we can do nothing against the truth. The Gentiles are not empowered. They cannot do anything legally against the truth. Okay? That's what it means. We can do nothing against the truth. That is a prohibition. All right? So, they are under commandment to lie not against the truth, and they are not, they cannot legally do anything against the truth. But if they do anything, even speak against the truth, then they are what? They are transgressing. They are committing a sin. Okay? Romans 2, verse 5. Romans 2, 5. The last statement in the verse says this. It speaks about the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. I'll read the complete verse. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So whatever judgment there is, it is righteous judgment. Psalm 19, verse 9. Psalm 19, verse 9 says this. Last statement in the verse. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. True there means reliable. Okay? The word of God is reliable. The Bible is still a reliable source of information. Okay? Okay, Romans 2, verse 14. Romans 2, verse 14 says this, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. That's a lot of words. It is, the statement is wordy. The important part, or the important statement in that verse simply says this. The Gentiles do the things contained in the law. And we have seen that in the law of the curse that I've presented to you. Every objective that the Lord pinned down, each objective was carried out by the Gentiles. That means they, the Gentiles, had to have knowledge of the facts. They had to have knowledge of the law. The Gentiles do the things contained in the law. the Gentiles did the things contained in the law of the curse. The Gentiles presently do the things contained in the law of Passover. The Gentiles are expected and are obligated to do the things found in the judgment, and they are obligated to fulfill and do the things they ought to do with regard to the law of God. The Gentiles do the things contained in the law. They have a history of doing the things contained in the law. And I have shared that history with you. All right? Now, real quickly, James 1:22. James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, your own selves. Be doers of the word. Now, there we're speaking about judgment. Be doers of the judgment. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. The Gentiles do the things contained in the law, even the law of judgment. They are to carry out the law of judgment. Okay? They are to be doers of the word. The Gentiles were doers of the word of the law, of the papacy's curse against African people. The Gentiles are presently doers of the law of the papacy, the law of Passover, and they are to be doers of the law of judgment also. Okay, I have another statement. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 12 and 19. Nehemiah 12, 19. Okay, Nehemiah 12, 19. And looks like I have, see here, Nehemiah 9, okay. Nehemiah 9, verses 12 and 19. Nehemiah 9, verses 12 and 19. Listen, last statement in verse 12, to give them light in the way wherein they shall go. They should go. Remember Isaiah 42:1, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. With this, with that, to give them the Gentiles light in the way wherein they should go. And verse 19, last statement in the verse, Isaiah 42:1 with it. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Exodus 18:20. Exodus 18:20, right along with the verses I just stated. Last verse, last statement in the verse. He shall Isaiah 42, verse 1. He shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now Exodus 18:20, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Are you listening? Are you listening, Gentiles? Are you listening, people? Are you listening, world? Are you listening? Psalm 49 says, hear this, all ye people. Okay? Now, so we know my duty to show Gentiles judgment, show them the way wherein they must do, they must go, and the work they must do. Exodus 18:20. Isaiah 16, verse 3. Isaiah 16:3 says, take counsel, execute judgment. Execute judgment. That's a commandment. That's a commandment. The commandment said to make judgment. Commandment says to Gentiles, execute, carry it out. Carry out judgment. Implement it, carry it out. Okay? Zechariah 8:16. There's a kick in this wedge. I wonder where it's coming from. Is that a clock or what? I don't know. Zechariah 8:16. These are the things that you shall do. Every man the truth to his neighbor. That's judgment. Okay? That's judgment. Speak truth. It goes on, execute the judgment of truth. Execute the judgment of truth. Now, Ephesians 5:17. Ephesians 5:17 says this. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's a commandment. Don't be unwise, be understanding what the will of the Lord is. And there we have it. What is judgment all about? Judgment. The judgment of God is about the will of the Lord. What has the Lord willed? That nation whom they, the Africans, shall serve, I will judge, the Lord said. Now, the question is, what is that judgment? The question is, what is the will of the Lord? What has he judged? What I gave today is background information concerning the judgment. The judgment is according to the truth of God. The Lord, all caps, the papacy, is the judge. Judgment is a weighty matter. Okay? The Gentiles are to do the things contained in the law, even the law of judgment. The commandment said, the last commandment we read, I believe, says, judgment. The Gentiles are to implement and execute, carry out the judgment coming from the Lord. And in so doing, they carry out and they perform the will of the Lord. Next week, we'll see more of the judgment. This week, I gave background information. Next week, the rest of the judgment. Mr. Welch, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, Mr. Welch, that concludes my delivery for today. Next week, I shall continue with the rest of the judgment. Today, I gave background information about the judgment. And from that, we can see that the Bible speaks a lot to the issue of judgment. But that's not surprising, because what? Matthew 23:23 says, judgment is a weighty matter. So it comes with much information, and it comes with much understanding. And these things are understandable. Judgment is a weighty matter. The Gentiles are obligated to carry out the judgment, the will of the Lord. And we'll get deep into that next Sunday. Mr. Welch, do we have any listeners or any questions, any hands up? What's going on?
Let's see. Looking at the switchboard, we did have one caller that seems to have dropped. And because we are in the archive section of the show, it is we are no longer able to take calls at this time, so it's just you and I for right now. But what I'd like to do at this time is to take a break, and we can come back and discuss more of today's subject.
Okay.
You're listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio with His Excellency, Tommy Hart. We encourage everyone to please call in with questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. And don't forget to visit the website, lawmaster.co. Pick up a copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God. The manuscript is easy to read, a text your lordship compiled, the result of 38 years of study and analysis, unraveling the truth of Bible content. Join the site freely, become a member, and post videos and photos. Email us with your feedback and link us to Facebook, Twitter, and other networking sites of your choosing. Help us spread the word. Remember, you can find Mr. Hart's interviews on YouTube. Search Law of Gods. If you feel it's time to break a half millennium spell of religious enslavement, you've tuned into the right channel. Keep listening to The Lawmaster right here on Blog Talk Radio. Break free of Vatican deception.
We are back now. Okay, so dealing with the subject of today, slavery, the papacy's brainchild. Now, I when looking at that, the episode, the title of today's episode, the word brainchild stuck out. And so therefore I wanted to turn and ask you to talk a little bit more about this slavery being the papacy's brainchild. How did you, in your studies, come to the realization that pretty much, it sounds like you're saying that much of this is centered around the enslavement era of black people. Can you expand on that, sir?
Yes. The papacy and the curse, slavery being the brainchild of the papacy. The papacy authored the law of the curse. The Gentiles conquered Africa and its inhabitants and subdued the Africans and brought them under their hand in their execution of the papacy's law of the curse. The papacy, I've stated before that the in the law of the curse, the papacy set down objectives which the Gentiles were to fulfill or carry out. One of those things is the enslavement of Africa. Their military defeat and bringing the Africans into captivity, subduing the Africans, enslaving the Africans, breeding the Africans, scattering the Africans. All of these are afflictions which I spoke of in the program today. And with that being the case, the Gentiles carried out the terms of the law of the curse, which originated from the papacy. Then the papacy is responsible for the enslavement of black people. That is iterated in Psalm 106, verses 41 through 42, where it speaks of the papacy delivering the Africans into the hands of their enemies, which are the Gentiles, in this instance, in this case, and the Gentiles bringing them, the Africans, under subjection. And that's simply it in a nutshell. The papacy is slavery is the Gentile enslavement of African / black people is the brainchild of the papacy because of the terms of the papacy's law of the curse and the obedience to that law by the Gentiles. The Gentiles' obedience to that.
And also, when you bring up the papacy or the Pope and all of his titles, when you speak of the Lord, and you mentioned it earlier, when talking about Lord, you're speaking of Lord in all caps, you've also mentioned. So really what I want to make clear is that what you mean by Lord in all caps, or anytime you see a title in the Bible that is all caps, it is speaking of the papacy. Am I correct?
Somewhat correct. That changes.
Oh, how so?
How so? The papacy in the Book of the Law, the Authorized Version Bible, the papacy names God. Matter of fact, the papacy gives up its godship and gives it to another. And for clarity's sake, that other is me. That another is me. All right? The papacy gives up its godship. It gives up its lordship and gives it to me. All right? So then, that's why one must follow the teaching so he can see what applies to the Lord with regard to the term, what applies to the papacy with regard to the term Lord, all caps, and what applies to the new God. Okay? The papacy gives up its titles and everything it has to the one it names God. Okay? So then the papacy or the Pope is no longer the Lord God, but there's a new one that bears the title now given to him by the papacy. And the papacy has stepped down. The papacy has abased itself and exalted one from among the people, and that one simply being me. And I have spoken on that earlier when I was teaching on the revelation of God. So one must understand, and in order to understand, one must keep up with the teaching and follow the teaching closely. Because if he misses something, you know what I'm saying, it could one could be left with the wrong understanding. So you have to follow the teaching just like anything else. If one is studying electronics or computers or law, mathematics, algebra, geometry, whatever, English, it doesn't matter. You follow, you know, you learn all the facts, details, points, intricate points, and all like that about whatever field of knowledge you're entering into or intend to enter. So what? You can be fully competent. And so in order to be competent in understanding Bible content, one must do the same thing. Follow the teaching closely. Learn all he or she can. Get the document, order the book, order my book, study the archives in order to keep up and in order to know. And that's why one of the statements today said that they may know and that they may see, that they may know, that they may understand. You know, and so that's the point here. Teaching closely in order to understand what's going on. Understand if there's a change being made, okay? Because in the Bible, there is a change. There's a change in lordship. There's a change in godship. There's a change in kingship. There is a change in the fatherhood, okay? There are many, many changes that take place, and one must be aware of those. And one can become aware of those and knowledgeable of those things by following closely the teaching. Mr. Welch?
Well said, sir. And I, if I may add, just a reminder, anyone can go to lawmaster.co and click on the manuscript and for a $12 donation, receive a PDF copy emailed to you of the manuscript, the Book of the Law of God. And in reading that, it would be wise to pick up a King James authorized version of the Bible, and possibly the, you know, the a concordance as well. And also, it would be a good idea to, you know, dabble a little bit here and there in the law. You might want to pick up a Black's Law Dictionary for words. I know that for me, it has helped me a lot in understanding what we are talking about. And so with that, this has been a very straightforward show. You know, for me, there's nothing more of what I can add. I can tell you that all of my questions were answered during the broadcast.
Okay.
So for me, you know, I know we don't have any more callers. It's just you and I at this time. Myself, I don't have any more questions.
I have a statement I'd like to make.
Go right ahead.
You spoke about, and I want to, you know, share this with the people. You spoke about ordering a copy of my document, which is in manuscript form, a copy of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. And you said we asked for a $12 donation. I want the people to know that I'm not afraid to say, buy the book. Buy, B-U-Y, buy the book. There is a commandment in the Bible that says, buy the truth. The people are commanded to buy the truth. When you get a Bible, and you should have one to follow me, an authorized version of the Bible, commonly called King James Version, you should have that. But are you interested to know what you need, what you should know as with regard to Bible content? Yeah. Do you want to know all you can know? Do you want to become a master of Bible content? Because we do need them. I don't need to be the only one teaching and knowing this information. You, the people, you. I'm talking to you. You. Do you believe the Bible? You know? Let me talk to all those who say they are Christians, okay? And you may be a Christian. I'm not arguing the point. But if you say you are a Christian, then you should be interested in knowing the facts about Bible content, knowing the commandments. That's why when I'm teaching, I'll say this is a commandment, or this is a prohibition, or this is a declaration, or this is a proclamation, or this is a whatever, you know. I try to be very clear with regard to the Bible statements as to what they are. And as I said, I need people who will take this information, take it to heart, love it. Matter of fact, there's another commandment. The Bible says, love the truth. Love the truth. And that is exactly what I teach, truth of Bible content. I have actually answered the question in John that says, what is truth? What is truth with regard to the Gentiles' conquest and enslavement of African people? What is the truth with regard to the papacy's law of Passover? The Gentiles, God has canceled the law of Passover. I did that months ago on a broadcast. God has canceled the law of Passover. The Gentiles are no longer subject to the law of Passover. They are subject to the law of God. Now, so my point, we need teachers. I need people who to learn the information, love the information, teach the information, don't keep it to yourself, share the information, and I stated two Bible statements. One, by the truth, that's a Bible commandment, and another, love the truth, that's another Bible commandment. And that's why I say sometimes I don't give references. So get a concordance. If you don't have one, look up the keyword, look up by, B-U-Y, and you'll come across the statement by the truth and find the reference. And you'll come up, look up the word love or either truth, and you'll find the word in your concordance. You'll find the statement that says love the truth. So that's it for today then, Mr. Welch.
Okay, well, before we go, I have one more question for you, and something you said earlier. I know what my new assignment is at this time. you mentioned really quick. You mentioned that the law of Passover is no longer; it has ended. Are you saying that the Gentiles are commanded to spread this word?
Yeah, the Gentiles are commanded to carry out the terms of the law of God. They are commanded to declare the works of God. Okay? That's just one thing they are commanded to do. And this is from the papacy on down. They're commanded to declare the works of God. They are commanded to what? To love the Lord their God. You know? As I said, the papacy is no longer the Godhead. That title has been transferred and given to me. And one can see that in reviewing the download that has to do with the revelation of God.
I may have forgotten your question. Now, what was the question?
Oh, that you, I believe you were definitely on topic, but again, I'll state the question was, being that the law of Passover is no longer, are the Gentiles charged with the commandment of spreading the book of the law of God, the things
the
that are
God, yes.
Yes, the truth of God.
The things that are found in the things that are in the book of the law of God, yes. The papacy is supposed to get that and publish the works of God. The papacy has the obligated to publish my works and make known my works. Declare his works, the Bible says, with rejoicing. The papacy is commanded to do that. Declare my works with rejoicing. Because isn't that what I'm doing with his works? That's what I'm doing with the papal works. I am declaring the works of the papacy. What I said today in the lecture, it says about me, he knows their works. And I'm presenting their works. Next week I'll present the bulk of the law of judgment. I've presented the papacy's law of the curse. I've presented the papacy's law of Passover. I've presented the papacy's law of God. I've presented other things. The papacy's promises made to God, expectations concerning God. That's what I've been doing. That's what I'm doing. I declare the papal or the papacy's works. And in turn, the papacy is to declare my works by law. Mr. Welch?
Well, what comes to mind as you were stating that is authority. What I mean by that is when one person thinks of authority, the thing is people are under a particular type of authority, which is, you know, we have to understand that that authority, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I want to put this statement, but the thing is, the new authority that we are speaking of is doing away with that old authority. And what would you say to that as far as getting people to understand that the papacy is no longer that authority?
Hear the word of God. As I stated before, follow my teaching. Follow my teaching. Study the archives. You know, study the archives. And for my teaching from week to week. Because there is a new authority figure. The papacy has given all power to me, to God. In the Bible, they call me, those are the papacy, call me God. They call me Lord. You know? So there's a new authority figure. Okay? All power is given unto me. And that's not all. The papacy has given me its people, the Gentiles. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, the papacy makes a statement saying, all that I have is thine. All that I have is thine. In Psalms it says, power belongs to God. So you have to know who God is in order to know who the power belongs to. And that's what I make clear in my teaching. You know, the papacy has given God in me all power. The papacy has given God in me all that it has, including its people. And the papacy has declared itself and the Gentiles to be the servants of God. They are to be my servants. That's a judgment that I'll probably state or iterate next week, but that's a judgment. Matter of fact, the things that I just named are judgments. Power belongs to God. That's a judgment. Mm-hmm. That's a judgment.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And the statement, all that I have is thine, the papacy says. That's a judgment. All those things are judgment. Go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to mention for any listeners who are tuning in for the first time, so what we're not hearing is the name of the supposed Christ, Lord Jesus. You ask a particular person, you know, who is the authority, they will tell you, or many will mention, or the image will pop up in their mind, Jesus. So, of course, during the course of the broadcasts over the years, we've hopefully moved away from this character, this fictitious character, Jesus, and moved towards knowing that the authority that was spoken of, or the authority that we have seen up till now, has been really the papacy, and that in today, what has been written in the Authorized Version Bible, that authority has now been handed over to God, the one who has done this work.
Yes, God in me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the teaching is not hard to understand. Everything is simple. I have actually made Bible content sensible and intelligent, or intelligible, rather. I've made sense of Bible content because in the Bible, all of this crucial content, this crucial knowledge is set down in a confused manner. You know, it's all scattered about. And what I've done, I have given order to Bible content with regard to its crucial matter. And, of course, we know that Jesus is a fictitious character. And that, matter of fact, I wanted to make the statement today, but I didn't read it, where the Gentiles acknowledge, they admit that they have not followed cunningly devised fables. Now, a fable is, number one, a fictitious story, and fable number two is any story that is not true, okay? And they admit in one of the Peters, first or second Peter, that they say, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. They're speaking about the fables in the Bible. so they admit to that. And we have to become wise to this statement I said today. The papacy urged the people saying, be not unwise, but wise with regard to the will of the Lord. What is the will of the Lord? And that's what I've been talking about for months throughout this broadcast, throughout this, you know, the time I've been on this program. I've been actually talking about the will of the papacy. And that's clarifying the statement. I could have said, I've been talking about the will of the Lord. Well, I have, but who is the Lord? Who has the Lord been, or who is that Lord in the Bible content that wrote those words? That Lord is, you know, refers to those of the papacy, those who actually wrote out Bible content. So be knowledgeable of what that will is. And next week I'll continue in sharing the will of the Lord with regard to judgment, as I began today. with the issue of judgment. So it's all about knowing the will of the Lord, and that will of the Lord is spelled out in the Authorized Version Bible. And, of course, that will of the Lord is clarified in my document. One can read line upon line what the will of the Lord is. So, and the papacy did that deliberately. The Bible is written in the way it is written in order that it can get a, how can I say this? In order that the Bible is written in a confused way, a manner. My works are written in an understandable manner. Okay? So which is better for the reader and the unlearned? The Bible or my book, which clarifies Bible content? Of course, the one that is more understandable, more readily understandable than the one that is not readily understandable. The one that is better for the individual, the one that he can just read and understand by reading. That's better. The papacy did that. It has put down itself in order that it might lift up God. Okay? The papacy said in John, I must decrease, God must increase. Okay? Increase in what? Power, etc.
So, are you saying that the Bible was written in a manner in which it was written to uplift God, or are you saying
so
that
when,
it was...
So when the two are weighed, you know, and set one against the other, which one is better? The Bible as it is, or the book of God, which clarifies complex issues in the Bible, which is better? Of course, the one that is more understandable, more readily understandable. I mean, you know, it's not hard to understand. But I know you're trying to get it in the a good wording. I can't get it right now in a better wording. I have to think about it and write it out. But yeah, when weighed together or weighed against one another, which is better? The confused book or the book that is clear in its understanding? Of course, any sensible person would say the one that is clear in its understanding is better than the one that is confused. I know I began to say that long time ago, early on in my teaching, and some of the people were shocked to hear me say, my book is better for you than the Bible. Well, you have the Bible, but you don't understand it. You get my book, and you understand the complex matters in the Bible. It, as they say, it doesn't take a genius to get that. You know, which one is better then for you? The one that you don't understand, and a lot of people have the Bible in their houses, and they don't understand it. They've had it for years. Lived and got old, and they still don't understand the Bible. And they get my book, and they readily understand the things that are in it.
Well, if it shocks you, that's a clear indication that there is no understanding. Because for some, to hear this word, it proved to be logical and commonsensical.
Mm-hmm. Let me say this. With one being shocked by what I say, that's not bad. You can be shocked and say, oh, wow, I get it now. You know what I'm saying? And still, you know, you're not going against me or my writing, you know. But it was just a shock to learn it, to hear it for the first time or so. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, just the element of being shocked to hear it, that's not bad of and within itself, you know. It's not bad. It's kind of
course not.
Yeah, you can say it's natural, you know. Wow, I didn't know that. Just like for a person to hear me say Jesus is a fictitious character for the first time. What did he say? I said he's a fictitious character. And then, you know, they keep listening to me, and they see why. You know what I'm saying? Jesus went about in Matthew 23:23 that I read today. It listed the weighty matters of the Bible. It says you have omitted the weightier matters of 1, the law; 2, judgment. It names a few other things, but I'm just stopping at judgment for right now. Law and judgment. It says those are weighty matters. But Jesus is not mentioned in the statement at all. Jesus in the Bible is not a weighty matter. It's not a weighty matter. It's a story that teaches a point. And what is the point? If you do crime and the authorities catch you will be subject and responsible for the crimes you've committed. That's a simple thing that the story of Jesus teaches.
You know,
which
Mr. Hart.
And it is not the only story in the Bible that teaches that moral lesson. But it's just one of the stories that teaches that moral lesson. Mr. Welch?
I just wanted to say in archaeology they teach them things, names, dates, and places. Okay, names, dates, and places. And also, you know, physical evidence. So, you know, one can apply that to many of the so-called characters of the Bible. You know, as far as their remains, if you go back, you find the remains of many different people who did actually live in history. And in none of their accounts did they speak on any of these characters in the Bible. So my point being, when it comes to the story, if an alien were to come to the planet Earth and pick up the Bible, all right, and begin reading about the story of Jesus, yet there not being any other evidence that he existed on the planet anywhere, he would come to that conclusion that it is a story of a, you know, pretty much a lesson of a person who committed crimes and was condemned for it, and that would be the lesson. You know, if you do these crimes, you will be executed in the Roman Empire, in which we still live today. You know, I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, that's the principle of law. That if you break the law and you get caught, you will be subject to the penalties of the law.
Well, yes. You know, again, we said here on this show before that if Jesus died for your sins or died for your crimes, why are you still being arrested and, you know, put behind bars and, you know, brought up on, you know, in a trial, found guilty and, you know, to be sentenced to prison time? This Christ, Jesus, already paid for your crimes in advance.
Right. Let me ask you what
so, okay.
If an alien, you know, using the analogy you made, if an alien were to come to this planet and read the Bible and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, here's what that alien would get out of the story. Here's a person who's breaking the law. He reads the, you know, all the Bible content, you know, that has to do with crime and law breaking and all like that, the Passover law and all like that. So when he gets to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he says, okay, this person breaking the law of the Sabbath. And the book has already said, whosoever works on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. And I see this character and his band of men working on the Sabbath day. And I see the authorities accusing him of doing that, and he keeps on doing it, and they eventually catch him, and they carry out the penalty of the law, which is death. That's what an alien would see if he came to the earth and read the Bible. That's what he would see, that Jesus was a lawbreaker, he and his band of men, and that Jesus was finally caught, and the law was executed, the penalty of the law was executed, and the character was put to death, just like the law said. That's what an alien would see if he came and read the Bible. He wouldn't see Jesus as Lord and all like this, because that's not in there. That's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And even if they do call his men, even if his band of men do call him Lord, you know what I'm saying? They wouldn't by any means take it that he's Lord of all. You know what I'm saying? This is just a group, and these people are calling their leader Lord. That's all they would see. And that their leader, you know, leads them into a life of crime, which eventually comes to an end and ends in death for the leader. That's what they would see. They wouldn't see anything like Jesus dying for somebody else, because it's not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wouldn't see that. They would simply see him dying for his own sin, his own crime. Mr. Welch.
You know, yeah, that, you know, staying on the topic of Jesus for a second, you know, that that shroud of Turin that they brought out some decades ago that is supposed to have the imprint of Jesus' face, if one looks at that picture, that character looks like the one in the paintings. And we know that the character that's in the painting is not Jesus. On many accounts, that picture is of supposedly the cousin of Michelangelo. Michelangelo was commissioned by Pope Gregory to paint that first portrait of Jesus. And he grabbed his cousin, and his cousin was the name, I believe, Cesare Borgia, I believe, of Italy. And that's where that portrait comes from. So, you know, if there's a resemblance in that shroud to the painting that Michelangelo painted, it's not reaching, it's just furthering the story.
It becomes a part of the cover up.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, just wanted to, you know, and recently they found supposedly the stakes that were used to nail Jesus to the cross and whatnot. You know, these people are really, really trying to make this story stick.
Well, they've already made it stick. You know what I'm saying? They just keep adding fuel to the fire. That's all they do. They know that.
Yes.
But they just keep reinforcing it. Keep reinforcing it and playing with it and just making fools out of people, really.
Oh,
making
definitely.
Fools out of the ignorant and unlearned. One man said that on one of the news programs about 2 weeks ago now. He was being interviewed, and he said that, well, we know that the teaching of Jesus is just for the ignorant and black people or something, like however he said it. You know what I'm saying? Stupid and unlearned people, you know. And, of course, the one that was conducting the interview, you know, quick, you know, moved on to something else. But, all this other stuff becomes moot because, you know, mm-hmm. it's just the knowledge that Jesus is in the Bible. Jesus is a fictitious character.
Definitely.
That's it.
So I would hope that we can put this to rest once and for all, but I know that for many out there, you know, it has to be brought up in
it takes time. As people listen and people learn, you know, it takes time. And like I said, that's why we need other teachers, you know. I'm just one person and can only do so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, as you know, Mr. Hart, I'm here to do my part. And Mr. Nero and others out there as well.
You did raise an important point, though.
Okay.
The Gentiles not playing that they keep, you know, you're talking about you coming up with different takes on what happened and all like that with a fictitious character and all like that. And we need to be like that about the truth of God, you see. We need to be that same, just really given to it, you know, just given to it, you know. Not being ashamed of what we believe, speaking up for what we believe, And if someone is offended, they just offended. You know, if somebody likes me, they just like me. You know, well, regardless of what I believe. There are people who love the criminals. You know what I'm saying? There are people who love dedicated criminals, you know? And there are people who love them, you know? If somebody loves you, they just love you, period. But we need to have that same discipline about ourselves that and they are the enemies. They are the enemy of God. That the enemies have in deceiving, you know, others. You know, that same diligence, that same unyielding, that same commitment. You know, that this is where I stand. This is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I believe. This is just me. You know. My God is over there in Augusta, Georgia somewhere, Savannah, Georgia, Chattanooga, you know what I'm saying? This is who I believe in. This is who the Bible says is God. You know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 the whole nine yards. Yeah.
Well, when the early criminals arrived to the West, looking for gold, many of them would mine it, and much of it, what they would come across would appear to be gold, but it wasn't. Turned out to be a mineral called pyrite, and thus the saying, "All that glitter is not gold." Mm-hmm. That's what I think about when I turn on the TV or cable and watch this CBN, 700 Club, all of these different mega churches out there, you know, and I'm going to call out a few names to Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, the fallen Bishop Eddie Long, and many others all over this country, all over the world, Benny Hinn, you name it. All that glitter is not gold. You're looking at a piece of pyrite, okay? All of it is Disneyland. You know, you have these cable shows, these cable television stations, these Christian, so-called Christian television stations, where they pump out into the out of the tube 24/7 these movies, regarding these stories of the Bible. And all of these characters are Gentiles. So I've concluded that Gentiles are worshiping themselves, is what it amounts to. And we worship them too. Because, looking at that, I have seen people who are watching these shows. They have them on discs. They're teaching it to their children. And people don't take into account the importance of these images, the imagery that you grow up with. It is really damaging to children. And for life, if you're teaching children these fairy tales, these stories from an early age, you're damaging your child for the rest of their life, almost irreversible. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. And again, that's all the more reason why we should be more, when I say we, I'm talking about, it may be others out there, who listen to the archives, who actually, are believing what I teach and all like that. And I say, we need to just be about the business of truth, and the business of God. As never before,
Well said.
Okay. So anything else?
Oh, I have nothing further. There is approximately 8 minutes left in the show, but for me, that is my conclusion.
Okay, well, we can suffice with that then.
Okay. Another excellent show, Your Excellency.
Thank you.
Hopefully next week we can have callers call in. Of course, you know, I'd like to remind everyone to visit lawmaster.co, where you will find all information pertaining to the broadcast. Go through the links, pick up the manuscript, and King James Bible, the Authorized Version, and study with us. We need people to help to spread this word. Visit your networking sites, Twitter, Facebook, and help us spread this word. And I will leave it there.
Okay, until next week, Mr. Wells, and I'll see you again.
Yes, sir. Have a good day, and goodbye, everyone.